Recordings are now started.
Great. Thanks, Tessa. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the SCI 17 Beach Hall on the 25th of February at 1700 UTC. On the call today, we do have Sarah Bakke, Wolf Ulrich Melvin, Anne Eichmann Scalise, Lawrence Olawala Roberts, and Angie Graves. We have no apology. And from staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Hedlund, and myself, Michelle Desmiter. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Michelle. This is Julie Hedlund. And Anne, did you want to lead the call?
I thought maybe Wolf Ulrich should continue since he's been doing some work, and I am way out of the loop. I'm so sorry for being – I was very ill for about 10 days at least. And so maybe Wolf Ulrich could to let us all know what he's been doing. And I see a very pretty chart here.
Yes, Wolf Ulrich speaking. Thank you. And, well, I could do that. I'm happy to do that. Let's just update all of us so that we have the same knowledge where we are at the time being. So Julie did a nice summary last time from the outstanding issues that was shared on the list. And so we have still three issues to be discussed here. The one is with regards to the question, what should happen if it happens like it happened last time, that at the chair election date, we don't come to a result, the council doesn't come to a result, and at the same meeting, the annual meeting, the vice chair terms is ending. What does it mean? So we discussed several options at the table. On the one hand, we said it's a very limited situation because that could a very serious conflict could arise just only if it happens that both vice chairs' terms end at that meeting. In other cases, we would have one vice chair at least available. That is one situation. Then the question was, could the vice chair election be done or suggested before the chair election is going to be done? That was a question raised. The third one was whether amendment of the bylaws with regards to the term of councillors could be taken into consideration in such a case, which means, well, to extend the term of those councillors who are vice chair at the time being from the old council and could be extended until the election has been successful. That is one open issue still. The second issue still open is the method for posting the election results. There is not extensively worked out within the procedures. That is a question still. And then the question of the timetable at all, the interference of different events with a view to the election of the chair before that those elections take place, for example, the nomination of candidates and the question when are the NCAs, the NOMCOM appointees, available, shall be available for the new council and all these things. So we need, it seems to be a new timeline to go into those details and then come up with a suggestion of a new timeline. So these are the three options, the three open issues. What I did right now and very short term today is, well, and Julie, I think she also put, yes, the what was written to the here on the screen. Julie, if you could go to the issue number two first, what I was describing there. Issue two, yes. There The first thing is, well, I mentioned already, I think there's really a case in if both VCs, vice chair's terms, is going to end, that meeting where a council chair is going to be elected. Because in other cases, there will be still one vice chair available from the old council, but which term is available. And my suggestion was also to think over the question, if there is one elected vice chair still available, remaining, then he or she could serve then for the as interim chair on the one hand, and an opportunity should be given to the other house, where the vice chair's terms end, well, to allocate immediately a member of that house or to nominate a member of that house just doing that job until the next until the election was successful. So that wouldn't mean this house should be under pressure, well, to elect immediately a vice chair, but just nominate a person who could deal with that job, and the vice chair election is a different thing to do so. That was one of my suggestions here. And in case, as it happened last time, both vice chairs' terms end, this opportunity should be given just both houses, well, to nominate members in the same way as was suggested, just nominating them to do that job, and that could be different. It could be the same people as could continue as vice chairs, but it's not necessary to do so. So that was a suggestion I put in, and we should discuss that, I think, first. And then we could go to the issue number three. So please raise your hand if there are questions with regards to that, or any suggestions or meanings or opinions on that, please. I'm open to that. Anne, I see your hand, please.
Yes, thanks. Well, for us, that it's very helpful to have alternatives lined up. It certainly makes sense to me that if a vice chair whose term is ending is actually continuing on council, it would seem to be a good rule, if a chair is not elected, that the person who was previously elected as vice chair and is continuing on council could serve in an interim chair capacity until the chair election is complete. With respect to the idea that in a situation where there's neither one of the vice chairs is continuing on council, I'm a little concerned that a process involving nominating a vice chair at that time from either one or both houses is a situation that we're actually trying to avoid, since when you have nomination and election periods, it takes time and there's, quote-unquote, you know, no one in charge. I was thinking that our goal ought to be that someone can, you know, act as vice chair and interim chair by some method we could devise, in fact, it might require a change to the bylaws, but that it would meet the problem of avoiding a period of where no one is in office.
Thanks, Anne. Maybe I was not fully clear about my suggestion. I would also like to avoid such a situation that we have officially to nominate a vice chair when the election of a chair has been not successful. So What I was meaning is, well, to overcome that situation, because to my understanding, the only task for the person who is then chairing, let me say that, or leading the council to the next time is, well, to run successful election. That's the only task until a chair is going to be elected, nothing else. So this task, from my opinion, could be done by anybody, any person of the council could be fulfilled. It could be, well, for example, the elder council member, let me say, so the guy who is the oldest one or whatever, you know, and whatever criteria you take. So it doesn't mean that he or she is going to be then the vice chair, the elected vice chair by that house, because that's a different thing. The house is going to elect and nominate through their rules a vice chair for the council, for other tasks as well. So this person is it about? And then was the question, couldn't that be helpful just to decide on that and to ask, to request from the council, from the houses, one person from each house who could do that job? That was the question. Was that understandable, and are there any opinions to that suggestion?
Oh, okay. Thanks. It's Anne again. You were just saying then that it's not really a nomination and an election process. It would be that each house would simply designate,
yes,
a person, like its candidate to serve as interim chair.
In interim person while running the election, or call it chair or what else. Yeah? But designation might be a better word, yes.
I see. So designation, and then if each house were doing that, how would it be determined which designated individual would act as the interim chair?
Well, it's up to the houses. Well, they could house means council members. It doesn't mean, well, to go back an obligation to go back to the stakeholder groups or whomever. It could be done. Well, if that seems to be necessary, as we did, you know, the last time, then we had a break of the council meeting, and the respective constituencies, stakeholder groups, had some consultation internally. The houses should consult about if that is necessary, or they could also do it by acclamation. If you know there is, if there is not no objection to that, so that's just a procedure, a very informal procedure, I would say, to do so. Just for that job. It should be very clear, it's just for that job, nothing else, not to lead the council during other meetings with regards to policy development or these things, just for the election. So, I see Lawrence was in the chat. I couldn't follow, though. In case where both vice chairs have their tenure ending at the same time, the chairs without a conclusive election, we could suggest that the oldest serving council member, yes, steps to conclude or oversees the conduct of an acceptable election. Lauren, thank you. I was also thinking about that. Here we have a difference because we have several oldest serving councillors, because, you know, according to the bylaws, council terms ends after, at the latest, after 4 years, I would say. I think so, that is that. So, because there is not a never-ending, you know, re-election of councillors, so there is not really an oldest one. So we would have several oldest serving counselors. Thank you. I see Anne, and please.
Yes, thanks, Wolf-Warris. This is Anne. I had a question in terms of how such a person might be selected to step in. And I realize that when we say the oldest serving council member, it's quite, I suppose it's possible that there could be people having equally long terms, that there may not be a clear, well, I've been on council the longest person. What I'm wondering about is whether it would make any sense to consider a non-com appointee to act as chair. That being perhaps a category of council member that is, not necessarily aligned with either house, really, and that presumably, act in a very neutral capacity during the election. And maybe I'm totally wrong about that. Maybe I just don't know how, the NomCom appointees work. But I was wondering whether we could designate a non-com appointee for this purpose and achieve our goal for that short period of time.
Mm. Thanks, Anne. I was also thinking about that. And the most recent case we had, so we had also two new NCAs available. So they may not be experienced or willing, let's say, well, to step in immediately, so because they are very new to the council, maybe. So it could be the other way also around. You're right. Well, I was also thinking about that. So I would say it shouldn't be excluded that the NCAs could be designated to do so, because it's up to the House to designate somebody, but the one who should do that should also confirm that he's willing or she's willing to do that. So leave it, I would say, those from that point of view, it might be better to leave it open to the Houses, but including the NCAs of the Houses.
Okay, and then, yes, thanks. This is Anne again. And so if each house then designates someone, what would we say is the result of having two people designated?
Well, thank you, Anne. Before speaking, the results would be that the according to the election rules, we are going to continue under the leadership of the two designated persons until a new council chair is going to be elected. And the procedure to doing so is described in the rules. So we did it last time with the former council vice chairs. So we could that do it as well as continue as we did.
Thanks, Wolf-Warris. This is Anne with a follow-up question. Just a hypothetical that based on the two chair candidates that are put forward and no clear election results, what would occur if each house decided to designate simply the individual that was running for chair from that house?
Sorry, Anne, well, I didn't follow. I was just reading Mary's message, and that's okay. We should also think about to include the non-voting NCA in that process, if we come to that. Could you just say it again?
Sure. And by the way, I do appreciate Mary's suggestion. I think it's a good one. The hypothetical that I was struggling with was when we talk about having each house designate someone to act in an interim capacity, it looks as though it would be quite possible that each house would, for that purpose, just designate whoever their chair candidate is. And it, you know, and then you would have some kind of situation where these two chair candidates are supposed to be, who are actually, you know, still competing each other in an election,
okay,
are supposed to be chairing the next election. I don't know how that would work if they designated the chair candidates.
Well, very good point, Anne. Well, they should just be excluded from that job. So that's because to exclude them from any a conflict of interest.
Right, right.
So that's very easy, but it's a very good point.
And then I was just noticing, of course, that it takes each house some time to come up with, you know, the alternative designee. So in a way, I'm really liking Mary's suggestion about the non-voting, non-com appointee.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Anne, for broadly speaking. Well, I would really say so. We should write it down as well. That if a designation is necessary of two persons, that should be done at the meeting where the chair election failed, in order to have a continuation of this process. And I don't think that this is a political, let me say, issue. It counts a political issue to do that, because it's just for the job. It's not about a vice chair position in the wider sense. We should fix that, and we should suggest it to the SCI and then to the council, if that is accepted by the SCI, that there should be a result of that meeting, and the result should at least be the designation of two people, including all NCAs.
Okay, and then when there are two people designated, are you saying that the bylaws specify how those two people need to act for this limited purpose that they already specified?
No, there is no bylaw implication. It's a procedural act of the council to do so. We could think about how to implement it in the procedures. Then, if it is accepted that way, but I think maybe a modification of procedures is also something which has to go to the board level. I'm not sure about that, but maybe, and that's it then. So, but that could be solved. That could be evaluated by staff. What do you think?
So the procedure then, once these two people are designated and it's clear that they cannot be the candidates who are running for chair, right?
Yes.
So that is one rule. And then they're designated by each of the houses. And so I guess councilors, we would have to come to the council meeting with a backup in mind in case a chair doesn't get elected. Each house has to have a backup in mind to be designated, because it's to occur at that same meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then the third thing being that once each house designates that second person who is not a chair candidate, then the two of those designated individuals work together to co-chair the election?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I think I understand it now.
Yes.
Thank you. I wasn't super clear, but I think I I understand what your structure is.
Yeah. I think that could be a way to be discussed, to bring it up at first to the SCI, and then we'll see if there are some more inputs and questions from others. But I think for this step, it seems a viable solution. And as I can see from the chat, Julie is saying that the board is not touched here, and the bylaws are also not invoked, because these people, these members, would have a continuing term on the council. They are not in difference to that what we discussed last time, whether to extend the term of the SOFA vice chairs, which term are ending. Okay.
Let me ask one more question. I'm sorry, Vufori, but
yeah.
In the designation process, would the candidates for vice chair also be ineligible to be designated, or would they be eligible to be designated even though their election has not proceeded?
The vice chair election, nomination, designation, whatever, is a task for the houses. So they may deal with it how they do it. So if they to exclude potential vice chair candidates from that job, let's do them. I wouldn't prescribe them anything in this regard.
Okay, and so they could put up their vice chair candidate as this designated individual, but that person is not guaranteed to be vice chair in the actual vice chair election, because the process of electing a vice chair is dependent upon the chair being first elected. Is that correct?
So, really speaking, maybe the from the procedural point of view, Mary or Julie could chime in, but as to my knowledge, the procedures are not implicating any dependency between the vice chair and the chair election. It is usual the vice chair is going to be elected or nominated or elected after the chair election. But I'm not sure about it. I think in the last time, the Conservative Party House announced the vice chair before the chair election. So it both is possible if I'm right here. Mary or Julie, do you know exactly what's going to happen here? Yes, Julie, please.
Hi, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Headland. So I'm sort of trying to keep up with the chat, too, because I think we're maybe trying to address some of these things in the chat. It is, I think, our understanding that there isn't a dependency between the chair election and the vice chair election. I know Mary is noting here that it's very unlikely that there would be vice chair candidates before the chair election. Mary's noting that the CPH appointment was an exception, that she's agreeing with you there. That is correct. I'm not sure if that's helpful. I'm afraid I've got a little bit of background noise. I hope it's not keeping you from hearing me.
Yes, thanks, Julie. I think what's usually done is the vice chairs are elected after the chair election, because it could be that one chair candidate who fails is going to be appointed or nominated as vice chair. as it used to be here. So with Heather, for example. Huh? So and if you do it before that, so you must be clear, the House must be clear that this candidate is not going to run for the vice chair for the chair position, then, which is. Up to the houses, well, to decide, but it's in most cases is open. Both is viable. So, but coming to the point, and I think it's clear that there is no dependency, no procedural dependency in written in stone here.
Okay, I think I am understanding. This is Dan again. I'm understanding it much better in that you can't just go ahead and hold a vice chair election rather than doing the designation process because, in all truth, the party that on the House that whose chair candidate loses is going to be that House's candidate for vice chair. So the only restriction you need here is just that if you're running for chair, you can't be the designated person. If you're running for chair, you can't be the designated person. And then once the two people are designated, they work together as co-interim chairs. Yeah. Then there's a successful election for chair. And after that, there's presumably a successful election for vice chair.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I think I finally get it.
Okay.
So.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
It took me also some time to explain it and come to that point. Thanks. Well, Julie, is that an old hand? Or?
Sorry, this is Julie. Yes, that's an old hand. Let me take that down.
Okay. Thank you. So, I would suggest if you could you follow, I think you could follow Julie and Mary, so that you put something in writing here. With regard to the suggestion of the issue two, so related to that procedural point as we pointed out here, and that would be good to share that on the list in the next days so that we can have a view and provide that for the report to the SCI then. So thanks very much for that regarding issue two. So let's swap over to issue three. I think the communication of the chair election result, whatever is successful or non-successful, and the question was, well, how to do that do that. I don't think it's a complicated issue here. It's a little bit nebulous in the procedure, as I learned, because Judy said it's just said, in an appropriate way, it should be communicated. The one definition is, or it's definitely said, that if within two business days after the election, the results should be published, so in an appropriate way. So, everything could be appropriate I'm just collecting views on that. It could be done on the TV. It could be done on the internal mailing list. It could be done on whatever list how to do that. So any suggestion is welcome here. So I just put in the here in my writing that on the GNSO website at least. Then the SOAC leaders should be informed, and I do hope and I guess internally the leaders are going to be informed as well. But if that should be necessary, to put that in writing, we should do so. So any suggestion here is any question, any suggestion, please. Mary, please.
Thanks, Ulrich. So from the staff perspective, I think the current process does require us to do the informing appropriately, as you noted, whatever that means, within two business days. I don't recall that it's been an issue for us. So the point that I wanted to make here was that in terms of going ahead and being specific about the mechanism for publishing might be more limiting than anything else. And I realize that's not what you're suggesting, Wolf Ulrich, so I'm saying this for the benefit of the group. Not just because of a prior SCI discussion where we talked about being technology neutral so that we wouldn't have to go back and amend the operating procedures if there's another way to do something that's more effective. That's one reason. But I guess the other reason is that the purpose is to inform the community broadly, and I think the current process already says board and community. So I'm not sure that there has been a problem identified that requires us at this point to go ahead and do more than what's already in the operating procedures.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Bell. I also don't recall a big problem. I think the only one, what I remember is because of the confusion after the last election, I personally was looking at the website how the results have been. And, it wasn't just not published. So that was the case after a week or so. So that is just for saying, we should keep the dates into consideration, because if that happens, somebody and people would like to see the result, and I couldn't find that. That was something. And then I was thinking about, are there other things to take into consideration, like who should be informed about that in addition? And so that's it. So that was my my question about that. There was not a real issue. So the question is then, what arises to me, is that the two business days, is that too short? Was there any issue with that to publish, or was it just forgotten? Well, that could happen all the time. So if there is some issue with the time, because internally, you have to go through a process or what else, and you need some more days, we could be open to do so. Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. And just thinking it through here, and Julie, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm missing anything. I don't personally think it's a problem if the election is successful, because that just goes out as an announcement and then the board gets a note about it. The problem or potential problem is when you have something like what happened this past round, when it's unsuccessful. First of all, as this request from the council notes, because there is no specific process, I think more importantly, what do you publish? Typically, as you know, what happens is that, of course, all of these actions, votes, and outcomes are recorded in the minutes. However, the minutes don't come out till, I think, I can't remember the exact calendar, but there's a 7-calendar-day review period, et cetera, et cetera. So necessarily, when we rely on the minutes, there will be a time lag that will not meet the 2 business days. So I think this is practically where we are with the process. And I don't know if that's sufficient for us to propose something else here, but that's been my experience. It could be that it is an unsuccessful election, that needs to get posted somewhere. But again, that's a very specific instance. So hopefully this is helpful as background for your consideration.
Yes. Thanks, Julie. That's helpful. So it tells me, okay, there is no modification is needed. We just should follow what is written. Sometimes it may help, or it may help. So if after election fails, the people who are going to continue this task, well, the designated vice chairs, they could raise their fingers and say, okay, what we need is publication of that result as soon as possible or following the rules, and blah, 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 and that's it, and that is what is it about. So if there is no need, well, to modify anything, so I'm the latest one, well, to insist. Thank you. And I see Anne's hand, but I see also still Mary's hand. Would you like to answer, or is it just an old hand, Mary?
Actually, it's a new hand, and if I may, and I just wanted to follow up on your point, Wolf Ulrich. Because the chair election happens during a council meeting, and of course it happens during the council meeting at the annual meeting, as long as that is the case, then aside from the minutes, one practice that the staff and the current leadership team of the council has started to do, as you've noticed, is to have a list of notes and action items go out to all the councillors pretty much immediately after the meeting. So this does not, of course, fulfill the obligation of publishing on the website, but to the extent that one of the questions you highlighted, Wolf Ulrich, was kind of looking for the information right after the meeting and that didn't happen, at least the practice now would likely reduce the risk of that. Again, this isn't a solution, but more background. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Mary. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. It's Anne for the recording. I think listening to Mary, what my question became was the degree to which the publishing of the information is dependent upon the finalization of the minutes. And it made me wonder whether the time frame, you know, is realistic, or if the 2 business days needs to be tied to, you know, the finalization of the minutes as opposed to some other event. I'd just have to ask staff. I'd have to ask Mary what would make this practically, you know, implementable.
Mary, please.
Hi, Anne, and everyone. This is Mary. That's a good question, Anne. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm struggling is that while this may be a gap, it isn't a gap that's caused any problem, if you know what I mean. And you recall that the SCI did talk about the question of minutes, and I cannot remember at the moment on which particular issue that we're working at the time. But the fact is that it does take some time to get the minutes published because they first have to be prepared and then they have to be reviewed by the council. So necessarily that is a time frame that certainly would not happen within 2 or even 3 business days. That said, like I noted earlier, the problem would be when you have an unsuccessful election or there's a need for a runoff. So to the extent that a solution is required, then I think the staff suggestion for now would be to make that very specific and limited. Because like I said, when there's a successful election, that's not a problem. The announcement does go out. It'll go on, you know, Twitter, the website, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe just some form of a notation somewhere that is accessible to the public might be something to consider. Does that help?
Sure, yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Well, I was just thinking, you know, we are talking about the one thing is a formal thing about the minutes, taking minutes and publishing minutes or informing the council of the minutes. Well, publishing is a different thing than minutes. To deliver or to distribute the minutes and inform the council, because publishing includes the community outside outside the GNSO and the council, outside the council, let me say it this way. So normally, I know that that if there is no problem, if a chair is elected, then there will be the next day, there will be the announcement on the first page of the website, of the ICANN website, that the new council chair has been elected. So that's positive. So you won't place a rather negative news on that to that location, to that website. So, but you need it, you know, for internal purposes. So that's said the other way. So you can publish means publish. So it means so we'll say it should be made public. That's elections took place, but well, no result, not yet. But you know the specific results, meaning what is announced by Glenn normally after that, you know, so many voices from votes from this house and the other house. So that should be made available on short term. So maybe we could distinguish between those two lines and well, have suggestion for those. Mary is writing, however, something like requiring staff to follow up on every election, so if or not, with a note to the full council enclosing the results. Yes, I would agree to that, but in addition, publication could mean something. At least we should leave that question open to the when it comes to the discussion on the SEI, whether there are also suggestions or opinions on that. Not be publication, yeah, but since council cannot find information, my concern is further requiring a publication is that it could just get lost on a website. Well, that's why we have a website. We have a GNSO website. That's the main website for the GNSO, and it's about GNSO council chair election. So why not publish it on that website? That's my question. Any further opinion on that? Otherwise, if I may, I would summarize what we said here. That is, yes, we should not amend the rules or not modify the rules in that way. There is something written which means the result should be published within 2 business days. We have a suggestion as well to publish that on the website, on the GNSO website, the result, but make the details available to the council members. So that is so far to issue number 3. I see people are starting to leave because of other appointments you may have. Well, thank you, Sarah, in that respect. But if you don't mind, I would really come to the last issue, issue number 4, because I would like to go to the SCI within the report to have a draft, a really small timeline which we are going to propose to them and which shows all the dependencies of that timeline. Julie put up to the screen the timeline which is the NOMCOM is normally following. And what is important to us, can you rotate that? Julie, that chart. What is important to us is I think if you look at June, July, the ICANN meeting, which takes normally place that time, then the normal, later after that meeting in August, the NORMCOM selectees are going to be announced according to that timeline in August, maybe beginning of August or whenever. So I was wondering if they really follow that. I think the last time our NORMCOM appointees have been announced very late, relatively late. So I think after we started, well, the nomination of chair candidates and so on. So if I'm right, so that was my opinion on that. But following to that, we should put all these things together in one timeline with the addition of the dependencies BC. And I put in my email, and Julie put that together here on that, the nomination of the House, candidate nomination, candidate statements available, and then the election. And we should, in addition, put the NORMCOM date to that chart, to that timeline. That's my suggestion. And should think about any safeguards the stakeholder groups or constituencies may need in order to get in contact to the new council members. May it be, they know they are their own council members, but maybe within the stakeholder groups, in the non-contracted parties house, we have both stakeholder groups which have to convene, and then maybe also together with the House NORMCOM appointees to get acquainted with the chair candidates. So this is what I would like to suggest, that people are looking to that timeline and think about necessary safeguards we need for that. I'm open, to continue for further 5 minutes, if you would agree and take questions here with regards to that proposal. In order to be prepared, to follow on the list, that we have something in writing for the report. Are there any opinions, questions with regards to that?
Before we get to Anne, I'm sorry, I must drop off, but I think yes. That a lot of progress has been made, and
okay.
Would appreciate seeing a written summary. The sub-team B work, and maybe we should be talking about sending the work thus far back to the full SCI. What do you think about that?
Thanks, Annie. I was going to follow that. So what I suggest? I would try myself to update the timeline with a proposal to that, and I would like to ask. That could be included then, but we share that on the list, and that should be then included into the report to the SCI, and I think that's it, and it could be discussed on the SCI then further on.
So that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So I do hope Julie, I could see you could follow within your notes with that, and if you provide us with the notes, I can also follow and update that if necessary. So let's do it that way, and I will try to update the timeline until the weekend so that we can provide that over the weekend and and have some opinion sharing for that. And Julie, if you find time before the MARCAF meeting, we welcome you to update and to put together the small report of that. It would be very helpful, and then we can go to the SEI meeting. Okay, Julie, thank you very much. Okay, last question, anything else? Any more question? No, not yet. So thank you very much for this helpful meeting, and we stay in contact, and see you in Marrakesh.
Thanks, Wolfaris.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Safe travels to those going to Marrakesh, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.